It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, when we're talking about dating as people, we have a lot of things happening in our minds, and trust me, a lot of things span through my mind when I was reading and preparing my script. But dating in a world full of distractions can pull us away from what really matters. Especially if you're one of those people who doesn't know what dating is and your concept of dating is fumbled up. What if faith becomes the foundation of our relationships? Can we then call those relationships godly? Let's explore how to keep God at the center, ensuring our dating lives reflect His purpose and honor His design. Let's first define what dating is, Mfundisi. What exactly is dating? Before we talk about God-centered relationships, what are these relationships? Just define them for us.
All right. When you talk about dating, really, people have different views of what dating is. But basically, it all boils down to the issue of two individuals who are in a friendship for the purpose of building a life together, to have a romantic relationship and building a family together. That's basically the bottom line. I mean, there are different ways of describing that, but I would say that it all boils down to that. Like, this person sees another person and they desire to have a family with them. Mm. And so there is that journey that leads to that ultimate goal.
Right.
That will take them to a new phase of life together.
Then what does it mean, Mfundisi, to have a God-centered relationship? And why is that important?
To have a God-centered relationship means to have a relationship that is founded on divine principles, you know, where God is the top priority in every aspect of one's life, including the relationship with others. It means seeking God's guidance and allowing one's relationship with God to influence their thoughts, their decisions, and actions. And when you look at that, really, God's love, God's wisdom, God's grace, it becomes the foundation of all interactions in a God-centered relationship. So that is basically what it means. Now, the importance of it is there are just a few points, you know. It is important because it has a foundation of love. It's the foundation, it's not anything else other than love, you know. It's not emotions, it's not, you know, the good looks and all these other attractions, but the foundation is love. And what do you mean by that? It's this unconditional kind of love that forms the foundation of that kind of relationship. And that love reflects God's character. And this can lead to a healthier and more enduring relationships. You know, I just want to give an example. If the foundation of a relationship is physical attraction, an accident can happen that can disfigure the person. And once that happens, then the foundation is scraped off. And then, you know, the relationship won't last. It won't be healthy. It won't be enduring.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the issue of spiritual growth. The reason godly or God-centered relationships are important is because they nurture spiritual growth. They encourage one to grow spiritually. And those who are in that kind of relationship, they support each other in their faith journey, helping each other remain accountable to God. And
okay.
Then there's also the issue of true fulfillment, really. This may be the last point that I cover on this one. You know, a God-centered relationship offers deep fulfillment because it transcends mere emotional or physical connections, anchoring the individuals that are involved in that in a shared eternal purpose. So that is why it is important to have a God-centered relationship.
How can couples ensure that their relationship aligns with biblical principles?
This can be done by formulating or having a biblical worldview that informs everything from decisions to the lifestyle. And this can be done through a number of ways, you know, prioritizing prayer and Bible study together. That is number one. And then also practicing Christ-like love, the love that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then, you know, this seeking purity. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 talks about purity, how the marriage bed is undefiled. So seeking purity also helps to formulate a worldview that will ensure that relationships align with biblical principles for those who are involved or engaged in such kind of relationships. And then there's also the issue of being equally yoked together. Second Corinthians 6:14 talks about or warns us against being unequally yoked with unbelievers. So people should share the faith. They should have the same sentiment, same values as far as faith is concerned, so that one is not shocking to the other. You know, one is doing the other thing, the other one is doing another thing. I mean, we have to return tithe. I'm like, oh, so you are now going to, give money to people who don't even care, who don't even stay with us. So that would be a problem. So I have to have same sentiments as far as faith is concerned. And saving one another, really. And seeking godly counsel, pursuing a mission-focused relationship. The relationship should not just be about, okay, look, you know, we look each other in the eyes, you know, and all that. But there should be something that calls us out of ourselves to serve other people. And we share that passion. That is how we can actually ensure that our relationships align with biblical principles.
So what role does prayer play in a relationship?
With that in mind, you see that I would say that prayer plays a vital role in strengthening a Christian relationship by deepening spiritual connection. Number one, we pray together, there will be that connection or spiritual intimacy that is being deepened, that is being developed. And then there's also the issue of fostering unity. How does it foster unity? The Bible says that before I pray, before I can offer my sacrifice, basically, before I can pray to God and I give him thanks and ask him to do certain things for me, I have to look, who have I offended? I have to go and be reconciled with that person. And conflict is something that is inevitable in a relationship, any kind of relationship. Conflict is there. So if we pray together, then it fosters unity in the sense that we will be
okay. So
pray together. So that, yeah, it works in that way. And it also builds spiritual intimacy. I just talk about it. It also strengthens communication, because we'll have to communicate what is it that we are praying for. We communicate with each other what the points that we are going to pray for, and also you communicate with God. So communication with God strengthens communication with on a horizontal level, so and vice versa. Horizontal communication strengthens vertical communication.
Okay. And then when people get into this dating thing, Mfundisi, I always am hesitant to get into a conversation about dating, because with dating comes things that are not righteous, you know, dating practices and norms. And I don't think, I don't know. Anyways, let me ask the question. What can we do to resist the pressures of worldly dating norms and keep our focus on God and Mfundisi?
And as you rightly said, the pressure is too much. I mean, there's a whole culturalization or socialization into worldly norms with regards to everything. Dating actually is the first thing. I mean, we watch TV shows, movies, we read books that promote and perpetuate these norms. So and it would be wrong for us to judge. When I say judge, I mean say in the sense of condemning those Christians who may not have gotten the right hold of how to go about dating. You know, we have to understand that they've been socialized for a very long time under this kind of education or under this kind of norms.
Right.
But here are a few things that one can do, you know, several ways to stay grounded in faith and avoid the influence of secular dating culture. Number one, understand God's design for relationships. Once we educate ourselves in that, we'll move away from this worldly and secular norms of dating. And then we also need to set clear boundaries.
Okay.
I would say that in the normal, in the popular way or norms of or culture of dating, you know, I take sister A, I take sister B, sister C, and then I say, okay, let me see which one here is I can work with. So that's actually what is common, what is considered normal. But once we have this biblical worldview, then we'll be able to set boundaries. What is it that we want? And once you actually go out to ask a person out, we have already done our homework and we have clear boundaries. And then we also need to surround ourselves with a faithful community, people who actually are following and teaching and striving for godly principles as far as dating is concerned and other things, of course. And we cannot overemphasize this. We need to choose a partner who shares our faith, because in that way, then we'll know that, okay, if we say that, if you once then is no premarital sex, but the other person is not convicted on that issue, then it's going to be a problem. As you said, you know, there's certain things that are not righteous that are happening in the dating world and that leave hearts broken and you know, relationships sour at the end of the day. So one has to choose someone who actually shares the same sentiment that are biblically informed.
Mm. And finally, Mfundis, what practical ways can couples grow spiritually together while dating?
Couples can grow spiritually together while dating by intentionally fostering habits that deepen the relationship with God and strengthen their spiritual connection. Praying together regularly, studying the Bible together, attending church and worshiping together, fasting together, it's one of the ways. Serving others together, being involved in ministry one way or another, you know. And there are lots of opportunities for ministry these days. You can do online ministry. One can be engaged in mission camps whenever there are mission camps and all those things. Serving even a church, that actually helps. And setting godly relationship goals that are informed by spiritual books, you know, the Bible being the top one. And then there are other books that are there that derive these principles from the Bible. You have books like Gary Chapman's books, like, you know, Things That I Wish I Had Known Before I Got Married. It's a very wonderful book, and many other books that are there. Adventist literature, you know, Adventist message to young people, and many others. These are just few books that I can mention.
Mm.
And then holding each other accountable. This is very important, because now these are people who intend to spend the rest of their lives together. So they have to hold each other accountable. That is a one way of, you know, making sure that they grow spiritually together.
Right.
And also participating in Christian counseling and premarital classes. That is very, very important. And engaging in spiritual conversations. You know, I like AWR because the conversations are spiritual. I was just listening to the previous program where you were actually asking questions. And these are questions that help one to think and to apply their minds, so right, such that, you know, they're not always talking or thinking about, you know, the bold and beautiful and other things, but their minds are directed more towards the spiritual things that can shape their character and shape the nature of that relationship.
Right. Okay, got it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your time and your insights. Let's try it again tomorrow. Have a lot to talk about this week, and it's going to be very interesting. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi.
Thank you so much. May God bless you.
All right, that's how we end our conversation with the good pastor, who's helping us understand a few things about, quote-unquote, umjolo. Hey, my producer has plunged me into it this week. But today we're talking putting faith first with Pastor Babuluki Museki. And he comes back next time, tomorrow actually, same time, same place.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.